Children, Kansas City, Missouri, August 10, 1884. Dear children, it is Sunday morning. I ought to have written you as soon as we came, but the cars were delayed. We had only time to get here and get our baggage all settled, and the Sabbath was come. So I did not write. But we'll say we had a pleasant time at Denver. Brother Jones rushed into the cars and took us across the tracks to the depot. It was raining smartly, and Brother Someone, his name I cannot remember, was waiting with a hack and took us about 2 miles to the tent. We found them very conveniently and comfortably fixed. There were 2 small tents, carpeted, furnished with beds, besides a double tent or 2 tents together, with a kitchen stove and everything for living. Then there was the large tent. I unpacked my fruit at once, every bit of it, with the exception of 3 tomatoes, and gave it to Brother Jones. He packed it in a little box and sent it to his wife and children. I was requested to speak a short time to the canvassers, and I told them I would. Notice was soon given by sending different ones in different directions, informing our brethren that I would speak. One man was so zealous that he walked 4 miles to notify one family. We had quite a little company assembled. I spoke to them 1 hour, and all seemed to be pleased. A man and woman came in and seated themselves after a while. I began to have impressions that the countenance of the woman was familiar, and soon I discovered Fred Walling. The woman was his mother, sitting by the side of her husband, Dunn. Before her was a lad of about 10 years, the same one that had crossed the snowy range with us. Now, how they ever knew I was to speak, I cannot tell. It may be they were passing and heard me speaking. I expected they would come and speak to me, but they all passed out, and I was relieved. An interview might not have been agreeable to either party. We had a very pleasant season with our brethren, then were taken in the hack back to the depot. From this point we had a dusty time. Could not sleep well. The smoke from the engine was blown back, and it was very strong. Throat and lungs were severely affected with this coal smoke. But all this is over. We are at Edson's. He is pleasantly situated in a location separate from other houses and standing high and dry. The location is every way better than the one they had before. I cannot write all I would be pleased to write, for I am not feeling much life and energy. Had severe pain in my heart yesterday. Today my hip troubles me considerably. I find that Iowa camp meeting can be made on my way to the New York meeting. I can spend 4 days there and then have 6 days for Syracuse. What think you of that arrangement? I seem to feel it may be a little hard on me, but it may do a little more good, and the blessed Savior has plenty of strength to give for just such needy ones as I. But do you think it will be robbing New York of that which is their due? But some way it seems right to go with Edson to Marshalltown, Iowa, and spend Thursday, Friday, Sabbath, and Sunday there, and Sunday night start for Chicago. Edson says that in that case I must send my tickets back to you to be used at some other time. He says they would gladly pay my extra expenses to Marshalltown and on from there to Chicago. I think the arrangements will be made for me to attend the camp meetings in Nebraska and in Independence, Missouri, after the Michigan meeting. Then, if they still insist, I will attend the general conference. If not, we'll go toward home in California. Edson cannot attend the camp meetings with me, for his business requires his presence. He can attend meetings within range of his business, but if he goes a distance, his business will suffer. He has no responsible man here and cannot get one until too late to accompany me. He wants to go wonderfully, but I am glad he feels inclined to stick to his business. But, Willie, it would give character to my work if one of my sons could attend me as I journey. It must be so in the future. Now, Willie, I want you no longer to be keeping a boarding house. I want you to be making arrangements to connect your interest with me and do my business and have a share equal, equal share with myself. Apparently from a later letter written from Worcester, Massachusetts. I have received one little letter from you since I came from Oakland, one from Marion Davis. You are many, I am one, with work enough before me to almost frighten me, but I am calling upon God. He will help me. He has promised it. I shall not be discouraged one bit.
Elder S. N. Ethan Haskell goes to Portland, directly, from here. Brother Roberson goes with him to help him to arrange for the meeting. We dare not trust Brother Goodrich, for he is so slow to act. I shall not feel any security in leaving matters in the hands of Elder Goodrich and those who live in Portland. I expect tomorrow morning we shall go to Vermont and get there the same night. September 2nd, 1884. Dear children, yesterday I had rather a hard day's labor. I was in the morning meeting and occupied about 1/2 hour. The Galleys of Proof I read. Wrote some then. Then there was a baptism. 20 were baptized. We had a large crowd of outsiders. I spoke to them from the words, "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow." Matthew 6, verse 28. I had the most perfect freedom and clearness in presenting the subject. Then I visited a sick woman and prayed with her in Agricultural Hall, sister of the man who takes charge of the grounds. She has just had a tumor removed from the abdomen, weighing 40 pounds. She is doing well. She had one of my volumes. One and another had contributed 80 cents, and I went to the stand and purchased the other two volumes and early writings. They were very thankful. I can write no more now. Just came in from the morning meeting. Had a good parting meeting. We have decided to go to South Lancaster for a little change and get on the Vermont ground Wednesday night. Mother.